Blog Talk Radio.
From deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, Blog Talk Radio and Wildlife Educational Services presents Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we visit his wild world.
Well, hello everyone from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson, and you are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on this magical network we call Blog Talk Radio. We hope everybody's having a great evening. We are enjoying very mild winter here in the Midwest, 45 degrees, rain, snow's just about all melted, so I think we're lucking out this year, so we're pretty excited about that. We've got a fantastic program planned tonight. Very special guest, Gary Lewis, with the Phenomenal 60 group. Gary Lewis and the Playboys is going to be with us tonight. We're going to talk a little bit about his musical history and, of course, his very famous dad. Lots of great stuff, so we're anticipating a wonderful show, so we hope everyone can tune in, spend the hour, and also tell your friends that you can download our shows anytime after the live broadcast, absolutely free of charge, at blogtalkradio.com/Larry-Batson. Handling the technical responsibilities, as always, our studio producer, Melissa Hovey, and engineer, Wayne Larson. The music compiled by Jim Johnson and from the massive Wild World News Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana. The honorable, distinguished, and always humble, Dr. Henry Day. Good evening, Doctor.
Well, good evening, Mr. Batson. Hey, a lot of our listeners have contacted me and said you were on television with a bunch of snakes.
Yes, I was.
I'm sorry I missed that one. Why don't you tell me about it?
Well, we did a local television program that's on in the morning called Indie Style. In fact, I believe the segment can still be downloaded if you go to indiestyle.com. And I took pythons and boa constrictors, and come to find out the female guest host, or the host, I should say, does not like snakes. So for my 4 or 5 minutes that I was on, she got very little camera time because she was gone.
Now, is that the same one that your daughter had a disliking to?
That's true. It's the same young lady that Elizabeth, our baby baboon, wanted to, I don't know, rid the world of her.
she might have just liked her earrings.
Yeah, she was pretty upset. But thank you for mentioning it, Dr. Day. I always appreciate that. The following portion of Larry Batson's Wild World is brought to you by Alphabet Swamp, the new children's book by Cheryl and Larry Batson. Order your autographed copy today at www.larrytheanimalguy.com or send check or money order for $10 per copy to Sharpen Those Pencils, WES 4140 North 600 West, Greencastle, Indiana 46135. Shipping and handling is included.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good evening. This is Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News for January the 26th. Now we want to warn everybody, if you live in bear country, due to the warm weather, the bears seem to be foregoing their hibernation. Now, we're heading off to Kodiak, Alaska. From the tracks in the snow, it appears a bear is foregoing its winter nap. Now, the Department of Fish and Game says it's likely the bear that frequents the area has woken up early from its nap, and they're not reporting any aggressive behavior, but just beware if you live in bear country. The bears might be waking up a little early this year.
Well, as I've said before on the show, Dr. Day, that bears do not truly hibernate, that if it's a nice day out, and we've had several beautiful days, at least in this part of the country, for January and February, that they'll come out of their dens. And of course, when the snow returns and the cold weather, they'll head right back to them. But Huh, that's interesting.
And you should know you have two bears there that you see every day.
Yes, and I'll tell you what, they've hardly took any naps at all so far this winter. We're almost 1st of February, so it's kind of hard to believe.
All right, well, count me in on this one.
Uh-oh. Oh, I like
Honolulu,
it.
Hawaii. Yeah, Gary.
I like it.
Volunteers are needed to count humpback whales from the shores of Kauai, Oahu, and the Hawaiian Islands. Yeah. Now, if you want to do this,
count whales?
Register at the www.HawaiiHumpbackWhaleNOAA.gov/. Now, every year, about 10,000 humpback whales come to the Hawaiian Islands every winter to breed and calf after spending the feeding season in the northern waters.
I have the funny feeling they have no shortage of volunteers for that task.
Well, what do you think? Maybe we should go.
Yeah, we'll leave in the morning.
Sweet. All right.
I'll go.
Know what,
Gary will go.
I'll
what's
go,
hard
too.
To find? You know what's hard to find and what? New in town?
No, I have not a clue.
An endangered western lowland gorilla.
Oh, what?
That's right. It was born in Brownsville, Texas, at the Gladys Porter Zoo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the officials have allowed the infant, which was born on January 15th, to join other gorillas at the Gorilla Island exhibit there this last week. Now, the baby and the mother, they were separated from the group to ensure a close bond. But the officials aren't sure what the baby's gender is yet because the mother has kept the newborn close to her, and she will rip your arm and beat you with it. So they're leaving the baby alone for now.
None of the zoo people are brave enough to go up and
all right, Gary, I'm sorry for this one. We're going to call this story Sealed with a Fish.
Oh, I like them all. I like these stories.
All right. Now, a bluefin tuna caught off the northeastern Japan coast, Tokyo, has fetched a recorded price of about $736,000.
Whoa.
In the first auction of the year at Tokyo's fish market. Now, the price for the 593-pound tuna translates to about $1,238 per pound. Now, if that's true, I got about $2,000 of tuna in my house right now. Now, here's the story. The price has more to do with the celebrity atmosphere that surrounds the first auction of the year there in Tokyo. Now, the winning bidder, restaurateur Kiyoshi Kimura, said that he wanted to give Japan a boost after last March's tsunami. Yeah.
Well, that's a good way to do it, I assume.
You want to buy some tuna?
I got a couple of cans in my cupboard.
I know. Well, that's precious. That's worth as much as gold right now.
$1,000 a pound or whatever that was.
All right, we're heading off to Bismarck, Dakota. Now, wildlife officials have spotted a record number of bald eagles during the annual midwinter survey along the stretch of the Missouri River there. Now, the Game and Fish Department conservation biologists say that 108 eagles were counted between there and the Garrison Dam on January the 13th. Now, the previous record was 85, so the eagles are doing good in North Dakota.
Well, that's outstanding news, Dr. Day.
All right. Well, I hate to bring this up. We got some bad news now. Now, without a word of warning, something is wrong.
This scares me.
Yeah. Now, as we've reported the last couple of years, we've reported about the white nose syndrome that's affecting the bats across the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Now, listen to this. The toll from the fungus has reached close to 7 million bats.
Lord, that's a lot.
Yes. Now, bats, not only do they eat, mosquitoes and other insects, but they also pollinate a lot of plants. And
yeah.
This is very dramatic. This spring, if you should have a few bats around your house that want to move in, please be nice to them.
That's a disaster. That's ecological natural disaster. Yeah. It's too bad.
All right, we're heading off to the land of Dorothy and Dr. Henry Day, Kansas.
Uh-oh.
Five whooping cranes are spending the winter on private land surrounding the Quivira National Wildlife Reserve in Cheyenne Bottoms State Wildlife Area there. And it's a beautiful area, and birds from all over the country spend their winter there. And I should know because I was born in Kickapoo Bottoms.
Well, did you see any whooping cranes as a child, Dr. Day?
No, not that I remember. Now, just a couple of days ago, I did see a group of almost 100 blue herons flying somewhat southwest.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get to see them very often in a group of a V. They fly like geese, but it was just beautiful. And the gurgling sound they make when they fly.
Yeah.
You'll never forget it.
You know, when I fly, I make a gurgling sound, too.
I guess I do remember that about you.
Yeah.
All right, now, you don't have to paint me a picture.
Oh, man, you're getting them all in there. That's great.
If you can. Now, listen to this. The Division of Natural Resources is seeking original artwork for its 2013 wildlife calendar. Now, artists are encouraged to submit paintings of wildlife by a February 17th deadline. Now, a $100 prize will be awarded for each month's painting and $500 for the cover.
Well, I better sharpen a pencil.
That's right, because you are an artist. You are a great artist, and you have books to prove that.
That's right.
All right, well, I'm kind of excited about getting Gary on. Let's end the news a little early tonight. That's the Wild World News for January 26th.
Oh, once again, a fantastic job done by Dr. Henry Day and his Wild World News staff. As always, we appreciate the efforts that he puts into this weekly broadcast we call Wild World. We want to tell everyone to check out my website, LarryTheAnimalGuy.com, and our brand new Facebook page, Larry the Animal Guy and Friends, filled with photos and information about our animal family. Also, RadioMom.fm, and the home of the Radio Mom Shop, where you can save 50, 60, 70% on vacations, restaurants, and a variety of other goods and services. And listen to my show, The 70s on Sunday, 12 to 7, each Sunday at RadioMom.fm. Also, we love it, McGregor Mountain Lodge in beautiful Estes Park, Colorado, on the boundaries of Rocky Mountain National Park. We call it God's Country. Go to their website, info@McGregorMountainLodge.com, and don't be afraid to go in the winter. You'll have the place to yourself, a fantastic resort right on the edge of Rocky Mountain National. You'll have wildlife in your backyard, folks. Unbelievable. Those are a few of our underwriters that make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
If stone is genuine, my clothes should be. And if your baby's truer than my baby was to me. This diamond ring can be something beautiful. And this diamond ring can be dreams that are coming true. And then your heart won't have to break like mine did. If there's love behind it. Summer moon is on the rise, and you're dancing under starlit skies. Please don't let the stars get in your eyes, just save your heart for me. When you're all alone, far away from home, someone's gonna flirt with you.
you play along. Just don't fall for someone new. When the autumn winds begin to blow and the summertime is long ago, you'll be in my arms again, I know. So save your heart for me, darling, save your heart for me.
Our guest tonight from his home in upstate New York, gosh, I have to tell you, those songs bring back so many memories.
Yeah, that,
go ahead.
That was nice
what you did there. The founder of Gary Lewis and the Playboys with us tonight. Gary Lewis, good evening, Gary.
Good evening, and it's a pleasure being on with you, and thank you for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. I will tell you, I've been looking forward to this night for quite some time.
I had
all those albums.
Yeah.
I had every one. And some of the people...
Yeah, it was a wonderful period of time, you know. It was so much fun then, and it's equally as much fun now.
Well, you're still performing.
Yeah, still on the road, 30 to 60 days a year. And that's plenty, because I'm old.
As we all are.
Yeah. Right. Well, and you know, we're on the Wild World Show. We're known for animals, and you love animals. In fact, you said
I love animals. My favorite animals are dogs and the big cats.
Big cats.
I love the big cats. Absolutely do. And I love that tiger on your Facebook page.
Oh, well, thank you. That's Hank. Or no, excuse me, that was Trace.
Beautiful animal, just beautiful. I'm a Leo myself. I was born in July, and therefore I've always loved the big cats.
Well, and Leo, of course, lions. We've worked with lions before. We've told a few stories on this show about our experience with African lions. And,
you have
dogs, though.
I do have dogs. I have a Pomeranian. She's 6 years old, and I have two golden doodles, and they're each 4 months old, and they're 35 pounds each.
Well,
I can't believe that at 4 months old, you know.
Well, I have a good friend that has a doodle. I forget, his is white, and it's fairly good-sized dog. I mean, it's...
They are so gorgeous, and the temperament is so good, and I love them. I just love them.
So when you were a kid, were you the kind of kid that would always be around the creek or in the woods chasing critters?
No. Los Angeles has none of that.
I guess that's the feature.
Nothing like it, no. But I have that now.
Oh, really?
So we bought a house. It's on 11 acres. And six and a half acres is grass, and I take care of that. I have a riding mower, and I mow everything myself. I love, just doing whatever has to be done outside, and I set up salt licks for the deer, so they come in, and we view them every night. Sometimes there's as many as 20 of them right outside our window, you know. And I just love seeing the groundhogs and the foxes and, you know, just so many animals come through because it's woods.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I just love it. I love it.
And don't you find it irritating? People will complain. They'll move into the country and say, oh, these animals are...
Yes.
Get rid of them.
Yes. Well, the first thing I did was go out and buy about 100 of those orange Post-it signs, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I went all around the entire perimeter of our house, And I put those things up, like, no hunting, none.
Yeah. Right.
Go away. You know, I just don't want any hunting done on my property, you know. You know, I mean, these hunters, they say, hey, well, you know, we do it just to eat.
Uh-huh.
You know, now I don't know what to think about that. You know, does it mean they don't have money to eat anything else, or does it mean that they just like the taste of that? You know, I don't know.
Well, I think the different hunters have different motives. We had,
I guess so, but it just hurts me. I mean, you know, to see something like that happen, it hurts me inside to see that. It kills me to see a dead deer on the road, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, but anyway, I just, the little animals, man, are just, I totally trust them. You know, growing up in this business with so many people that you don't trust or that steal from you and this and that, any animal I see, I know I could trust if they could think that way, you know?
Mhm.
Well, I just love them.
Well, did your dad, when you decided at a young age that you were going to go into show business and do Gary Lewis and the Playboys, did your dad give you any advice? And his dad, by the way, folks, is Jerry Lewis.
Well, no, because I ended up doing what he has never done, you know, play music.
Yeah.
But as I was growing up, I always knew that if I tried to do the same thing as he did, I'd never have my own identity, and I'd always be compared to him.
Right.
So thank goodness I was going to college in California, and the Beatles came out.
Mm-hmm.
That made up my mind for me right there what I wanted to do, because I had already played drums and guitar starting it when I was 5.
Wow.
Yeah.
There has been
you know, I made a – it's 48 years this month since I started.
That's amazing.
And it's been a good ride.
Well, it has. I know we have so many listeners tonight that tell us how the Gary Lewis and the Playboys came all about.
Well, I was going to a theater arts college, you know, having absolutely no idea what I wanted to do with my life at all as far as a career.
Uh-huh.
And so when the Beatles came out, I formed up the original Gary Lewis and Playboys from different classmates at school. You know, I just searched out who played bass, drums, keyboards, rhythm guitar. And so we got together, and in April of 64, we heard about auditions at Disneyland. There were 10 other acts that came down and auditioned along with us, and we ended up getting the job, and that job was for June, July, and August of 1964 at Disneyland.
Wow.
So we got the job there, and as we were playing out there, it happened just like every band wishes it would happen. You know, a producer's in the audience. He comes backstage, gives me his card, says, "You guys sound pretty good. I'd like to talk to you about recording." And that's exactly what happened. You know, and so I was a teenager still, so I couldn't negotiate anything or sign anything. So my mom and dad both signed the contract with Liberty Records for me.
Uh-huh.
And then my mom became our manager and agent.
Wow.
She was booking everything, and she was doing the managerial duties, and she didn't even take 10%.
That's fantastic.
All right, Mom. You know, so they were both involved in the legal stuff, setting up my career and all that. And it turned out that they did an excellent job too, because they made sure that the contract signed made sure that I got my royalties for my entire life.
Wow.
Yeah. So. And I'm telling you, by playing all these years for people, it's just a wonderful thing that the royalties just keep going up.
I'll bet.
I'm thrilled to death about it, you know. And so that's actually how we got started out at Disneyland in 1964.
You remember the first time you walked into a recording studio?
Oh, I certainly do. It was like, it was actually like walking into a classroom of only foreign students. Everything was that foreign to me. I mean, I had no idea what the hell I was doing. All I could do was follow orders. And my producer, Snuffy Garrett, said, well, I got to be in total control because you're a young kid and I've been around a while. So let me pick the songs. Let me put them out when I think they should be put out. And we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And boom, you know, this diamond ring comes out and goes to number one in the country, sells a million records in about 6 weeks. And it kicked the Beatles out of number one.
Oh.
And they were the major reason I got into rock and roll, and I dethroned them.
Cool.
So, we're all flying so high and everything, and my producer says, you got to settle down, man. You know how many one-hit artists there are out there?
Yeah.
He says, we got to concentrate real hard on getting the second hit, and if we get that one, then we could be on our way.
Uh-huh.
And so it's a good thing he said that because, boy, when he said one-hit artist, I said, oh, yeah, geez, I know of them.
Yeah.
and then we had 7 top tens in a row.
Refresh my memory. What was the second hit that you had after This Diamond Ring?
That was Count Me In.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
Which you were so kind to mention earlier.
Oh, yes, Dr. Day.
In the news.
Yeah, Dr. Day loves to do that. He's quite clever. Well, that was hot, too. Do you remember the first time you heard one of your records on the radio?
Oh, I sure do. I mean, it was just such a high, such an exhilarating thing that my heart was beating so fast, and I was singing along with it. Yeah, all right, this is great. Hey, that's me, man. You know, because that's what I wanted so bad. I mean, I had no idea that the first tune was going to go to number one and kick the Beatles out of there. Geez.
Lord, that's incredible.
It is. And I'm telling you, you know, it was all fun and games back then in the 60s. But as I kept going, it became a serious business, you know. I mean, I was growing up, too, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so I started treating it like a business and been handling it the way I've wanted to all these years. And we've been around 48 years still playing. And the great thing is that we're playing to the same people we played to in the 60s. They're my age, and they
uh-huh.
bring their children, and they bring their children, you know, so our audience is like from 10 years old to 70.
Wow.
And it is so terrific to have covered 3 generations in my career. I mean, I'm so grateful for everything. It's just great.
And it has to be a lift when you look in the audience, because I'm sure that a lot of these, the older fans, they get just taken in a moment. I can remember watching a Paul McCartney show. People are actually crying because they thought about their lives and the hits when this.
Absolutely. I've gotten so many emails from people that have said, geez, I hope you realize how much joy and happiness you bring to us. And
amen.
Yeah.
You know, that I've done my job.
That's right.
You know, so
God. And
I have no desire to quit at all, no matter what. I mean, I'm 66, and I just want to keep doing it, you know, because getting up on stage and playing your music for people, that's the fun part.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the hard work is the traveling to get to every gig.
Right.
So. So when we actually get on stage, that's the fun part.
You're basically working for, what, that 90 minutes or so?
Yeah, about.
Every day.
Yeah, well, not every day. But, well, you know, enough. See, if we do 60 dates a year, we're gone for 120.
Exactly. Yeah.
120 days, you know. So we're out of town that long. And that's plenty for me.
Oh, I'll bet. I'll bet.
Yeah.
Our guest tonight, Gary Lewis of the wonderful band of the 60s, Gary Lewis and the Playboys. We're going to take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back. You are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio.
This week's episode, Bobcat in the Cave.
Gosh, Johnny, playing in the cave sure is neat. Oh, boy, a kitty cat. Sassy, the kitty cat's yelling. What, Sassy? It's not a kitty? It's a bobcat? Speaking of cats, you like to stress the importance of adopting cats from animal shelters? Over 5 million cats go into animal shelters every year? And with millions of healthy cats to choose from, it's a shame more people don't adopt from shelters.
It's Bobcat, Abby. Help, Sassy!
Why bother? We'll just get into more trouble tomorrow?
What's that supposed to mean? Oh, nuts.
Sassy is brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org. Remember, adopt.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting.
Location?
In the forest near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
Yeah, one second I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Welcome back to Larry Batson's Wild World here on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, here's your host, Larry Batson.
Hello, everyone. This is Larry Batson. You are listening to Larry Batson's Wild World on Blog Talk Radio. And we remind everyone to go to the Blog Talk site, and you can be a follower, a friend of the show, and you will receive emails each week notifying you of our guests and the plans we have. And we hope you are an avid listener. And also tell your friends you can download these programs forever and listen to these shows right after our live broadcast every Thursday night. And we encourage you to do so. Our guest tonight, Gary Lewis, he'll be back with us in just a moment. We also want to thank some of our underwriters, the Icebox, an affordable, lightweight, and packable tool for building a snow shelter in any snow conditions. Folks, we're talking an igloo. And I know probably Gary Lewis would love to have one of these beanies from upstate New York. An Icebox.
I do.
Yes.
I want one tomorrow.
This is a tool that you can build your own igloo.
Oh.
Are you covered in snow now?
No, it's raining.
Oh, well. It's
about 45 degrees.
That's what we're experiencing. But anyway, yeah. You need to go to the website to check it out. It's a fantastic way to go camping. What our good friend Igloo Ed, who's been a guest on the show, he actually builds these igloos in the higher altitudes of Rocky Mountain National Park, and they stay there all winter, and he builds ones large enough that 8 people can sleep in them. You just need to go to the website and check them out. It's www.grandshelters.com. Also, iKids Fishing. It's the first kids fishing show in the USA, starring kids, teaching kids how to fish. 40 million fishermen spending $45 billion a year. The iKids Fishing Show definitely is a keeper. More info at We Want You, WEWANCHU Cottages at Chautauqua Lake in Western New York. The website is www.wewanchu.com. It's one of America's finest fishing resorts. And also our good friend Peter Weimer will be putting together, well, he's put it together. It's going to be happening on May the 6th in Maysville, New York, at the Chautauqua Suites, the first ever Western New York Bigfoot Expo. I'll be there along with Melissa Hovey, Steve Calls, and Billy Willard will be the speakers. It's going to be a fantastic day, so we encourage everyone to check that out. But go to the website at www.wewantyou.com. Check out the information about our Bigfoot Expo on May the 6th. Also, Tire Service Plus and owner Jerry Jones taking care of America's auto maintenance needs. They keep our animal truck on the road, traveling thousands of miles with our wild animal ambassadors. Give them a call, 317-243-0700. And we'd like to thank all the underwriters that help support our program and make it possible for Larry Batson's Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio.
iTunes, and it, you know, people can get it at whatever download site they use. And you can also reach it from my website, too, GaryLewisandThePlayboys.com.
It's a fabulous tune. It sounds like
cool. Vintage. First new song that we've had out since 72.
You're kidding.
Great.
Oh, I'm not kidding.
Oh, my Lord. My
so,
God.
You know, I didn't think that there would be any radio stations that would play it. You know, I didn't want to try to compete with people's music of today, you know, because that's, I don't know.
I just,
you know, whatever they're into is not really the kind of music I like.
Right.
And oldies stations, I said, well, why won't you play something by an oldies artist? You know, something new by an oldies artist.
Right.
And they say, no, we just have to play oldies. Great. So then the idea of doing it ourselves, bypassing the record company, put it on iTunes, have it distributed by a company that does that,
mm-hmm.
and that's where we are.
Well, I do a FM show here in Indianapolis on Sundays. I'd like permission to be able to share that with my audiences on that program.
Well, sure you can.
Oh,
it's all copyrighted and everything.
Fantastic. Well, it's a great.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Now, how did you and your bass player wrote the song?
Right. He sang the bridge in that song, so that's why the voice change happened.
Uh-huh.
If anybody noticed that.
Well, I noticed you changed keys, which is always quite impressive.
Oh yeah, a little modulation is nice. Yeah.
I bet there was a big difference for me when you went to the recording studio to put that together versus in the 60s when you...
Oh, geez, yes. I mean, my God, I went into the session to cut this new tune thinking that I knew everything about the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did if it was still 1965.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, the way things are done nowadays, I'm totally lost. I'm just totally lost. So I leave it up to somebody I trust to be a good engineer and do it.
Well, he did a fine. It sounds great.
Yeah, he did.
It's I can't remember the artist they used to when they record a song that on the playback they'd listen to them through very small speakers, so they'd kind of get the idea of what it would sound like over one's radio in a car or a train.
In a car, exactly right. A 10-inch speaker.
Yeah.
That still happens. That's what I requested when we were mixing down this new one. I mean, you got to do that. You have to, because that's usually where people are going to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know about, you know, an internet song, you know.
Right.
I don't, you know, I mean, they can buy it, but it won't be on a disc or anything.
Well, that's fine. Though we do
I don't care.
Whatever brings the dollar in.
Yeah.
What the heck? So I assume you're performing it live?
Well, we are on February 11th. We have a job right here in town, as a matter of fact, and that's the first time we're going to do it live.
Well, your fans ought to be absolutely thrilled because it's you know, breathtaking to hear that sound again.
Thanks. I got positive feedback already from a lot of people.
Well, you got positive feedback from Dr. Henry Day, and he's not too easy to get that.
All right, good. Glad to hear it.
So what did your dad think when the music, like we were talking, we had Billy Hinchy on the show a few weeks ago.
Oh, I love Billy.
Oh, he's a great guy.
He's been a friend of mine for a long time.
Well, they were talking about in the early days how they would practice at Desi's mom's house. Until they basically outgrew the house and they moved over to Dino.
Well, yeah. Well, we did that same thing.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. My mom told me, she says, okay, I'll buy you the drums and the guitars and the amps and the microphones and all that stuff.
Wow.
But don't tell your father about it, because if this whole thing fails, I got to come up with an excuse as to where the money went. That's what she said. So we always rehearsed it at our house when my dad was out of town. So my dad didn't know I had a band until my record was in the top 10.
You're kidding.
Wow.
No, because when we first released it, Mom says, no, 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 don't tell him now. It could fall off the chart tomorrow. You know, so it kept climbing up the charts, and when it finally got into the top 10, she says, okay, now tell him. So I waited a couple more days, and it's a good thing I did because the record went gold. So I just took my first gold record down to Paramount Studios where he was shooting a movie and gave him the first gold copy. He looked at it and he says, when did you do this? You know, and so I tell him, well, you know, we did it and we had to keep it quiet because we didn't know what was going to happen. And he was very proud, and he said,
wow.
You know, that's just terrific. The only thing I ask is don't grow your hair like those damn Beatles. That's what he said.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. And I couldn't because I was still living home.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. But it was so good until we started touring. And then if when you completed your show and you didn't make it out to the car before the crowd coming out of the theater, boy, you'd get attacked, and it was full-on Beatlemania.
Wow.
You know, ripping the clothes, rip whatever they can get their hands on, hair.
Yeah.
Rip the windshield wipers off the car. I mean, you know, just anything. So we started to fear for our lives after a while.
I'll bet.
And we were driving down a Texas freeway one time, and we heard banging on the top of the car. Bam, bam, bam. And we said, what the hell is that? Bam, bam, bam again. So we pull over and look up there. There's a couple of girls up there hanging on as we're driving.
Oh. My God.
Down the freeway. I said, get off this car. My God. If they fell off, oh, man.
Oh, that'd be terrible.
So, I mean, you know, it was full-force Beatlemania kind of stuff. And so nowadays when I'm playing, you know, I tell that little story in the show, and I say, and I thank you all so much for not trying to rip our clothes off like they did in the 60s. And it gets a great laugh, you know.
I'll bet.
We still have a lot of fun, and during our live shows, we also show clips of the three cameo shots I got in three of my dad's movies, and then it show we've got clips of me and my dad doing a couple TV shows together. So it's not just all music, you know. It's like. It's a break to watch clips, too, and I always tell stories about how everything happened and where the songs came from and stuff. It's, you know, if it wasn't me, I'd think it was interesting.
Well, what a great era of music, I mean.
It was.
Oh, I mean, you try to tell people about it now. Of course, our young... Melissa Hovey, I mentioned these early bands, and she has not a clue. And I just feel so bad because I thought, man, we were so lucky to grow up when we did.
I mean, you know, that era, the 60s, it definitely had its share of problems and bad things happening. But for some reason, all that music was able to take some of that pain away.
Well, it was all, as the Beatles said, peace and love. I mean,
that's right. That's
everybody.
Right. And it's so funny that the FBI would have an extensive file on John Lennon for preaching peace and love.
That makes no sense.
I couldn't believe it, you know.
Did you ever have a chance to meet the guys, the Beatles?
Yeah, I did meet them
really?
three different times, yeah.
Tell us about it.
They played the Hollywood Bowl in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
And I had this diamond ring only at the time. But somehow they heard I was out there, so they sent one of their guys out to get me and bring me backstage after the show.
Wow.
And so I met them. I'm shaking their hands and everything, and John Lennon's walking around pouring champagne for everybody.
Yeah.
And McCartney puts his arm around me and says, "Hey, man, nice suit." And that made me so proud because I came to a Beatles show wearing my Beatles suit with a black velvet collar and cuffs.
Yeah.
You know, and he says, "Hey, man, nice suit." And I went, "All right, all right." And then after that, I said, I went to see Ringo. He was doing something by himself, so I went to see him. And I thought about saying, "Well, hey, Ringo, remember we met in 65?
Yeah.
And then I said, "No, I'm not going to say that. Everybody says that to him, you know?
Right.
People say that to me, you know?"
Yeah.
So I didn't say anything. So I walk into his dressing room, and he looks at me and says, "Hey, man, we met in 65.
Isn't that
wild? He says
it
to me. I was so thrilled.
What a compliment, considering the tens of thousands of people that they would cross paths with.
Exactly right. Oh, it was so great. It was just a wonderful period of time. It really was. I mean, I was in such awe of the Beatles. I mean, I felt like I was the number one fan. Nobody could love them more than me.
Uh-huh.
You know,
well,
but everybody did.
Well, I've tried to explain this to folks that in those days, of course, they didn't have the publicity that they had. I mean, if the Beatles come out tomorrow, it would be a whole different deal with them, with the publicity and the promotion that goes on today with the internet.
Oh, yeah.
It would be. I mean, well, McCartney's getting it with his touring and so forth. I mean,
yeah.
He's
oh,
part of
yeah.
And
yeah.
Of course,
yeah. It was funny, too. I went to see McCartney in Chicago, I don't know, 5, 7 years ago, something like that. And I went backstage, and you know, my hair was real long at the time. And McCartney, he comes up to me and says, "Hey, man, get a haircut." And I said, "Yeah, what do you mean? You started it."
They were pretty down to earth, I guess, as big as
they were. Yeah. You know, the only thing is that I could never connect with George at all because he never looked at anybody.
Really?
Yeah, you know, it's like people passing through a line to shake the Beatles' hands. George kind of looked at the ground all the time, you know?
Huh.
Just so I didn't know what he was thinking. I never knew what he was thinking.
Right.
So I just, you know,
yeah.
Whatever.
Absolutely. Did you have, I know you did a lot of touring, I assume, with lots of other bands of that era. Did
oh,
you have
yeah.
a favorite band or friends that you enjoyed?
I really liked the Turtles. They
wow.
were they were just such great guys, you know, and they still are. And I toured with the Grassroots and the Buckinghams and Herman's Hermits, Paul Revere and the Raiders. Just so many, you know, Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs.
Wow.
The girl groups like the Crystals and the Shirelles and all that stuff. You know, because Dick Clark would always put together those bus tours
mm-hmm.
where it was about eight or ten acts. They all get on the bus and go out and do 6 to 8 weeks of one-nighters, you know.
Yeah.
And we did like 5 or 6 of those and just ran into just everybody, all the bands that had hits at the time. Dick Clark had a great thing going there.
Yes, he did. Did you have a chance to ever chat with him? He seemed like a pretty good guy.
No, well, yes, as a matter of fact, but I never chatted with Dick until 1988 when we played the Sands Hotel in Atlantic City.
Uh-huh.
He hosted it. It was Del Shannon, the Mamas and the Papas, and myself.
Mm.
And he was hosting it, emceeing it all. So backstage, yeah, we got a chance to talk and met him and his wife. And they're just sweet people.
Absolutely.
Very nice people. Yeah.
And of course, you did all the shows. I mean, Hullabaloo, Shindig.
Right. Ed Sullivan.
Ed Sullivan. Now, what was that like?
Oh, well, I mean, that was the pinnacle. You know, if you did the Ed Sullivan show, you were on top. Mm-hmm. You know, I did it six times, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
You know, and my dad told me that some people work their entire career just to get on the Ed Sullivan show. You know, and here I am, my very first record, I'm on the Ed Sullivan show. And they kept asking us back with every other release.
Well, you had such a positive image that I assume Ed Sullivan loved. I mean, nice-looking young guys.
You know, and it was great, except that you had to talk to Ed Sullivan through an interpreter.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, he would say stuff to everybody that nobody understood.
Really?
Very fine. You know, whatever his mumblings are. And, you know, but he was Ed Sullivan, so nobody said anything.
Oh, man.
Oh, I gotta tell you the way he introduced us one time. We did a dress rehearsal before the show. And he comes out on stage and he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, and for all you kids, let's have a nice hand for Jerry Lewis's Sons Combo."
That had to make you feel great.
Oh, man. Oh. I went right to him after the dress rehearsal. I said, "Please, Jerry Lewis and the Playboys, please." And he got it right during showtime.
Well, of course.
What a silly way to introduce somebody.
My gosh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
you probably don't even remember who. It was probably such a big moment for you guys. You probably don't even recall what juggler or what.
No, it was just probably another show, you know. So,
yeah,
I mean, there were some real funny times when my dad would do Ed Sullivan's show, because he would do everything. He'd maul Ed. He'd pull him to the stage, pull him down. Hit him, make like he's kicking him and everything. Oh, God, how much fun.
Yeah, your dad is pretty special.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. How's he feeling now?
Well, he's slowing down quite a bit.
Well, yeah.
Well, he's 85 now, and, you know, he doesn't do anything in front of the camera anymore. It's all behind the camera, and he's got a play that's going to be happening on Broadway. It's the old Nutty Professor movie of his.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's going to be on Broadway in a play. So that's what he's got coming up.
Yeah.
And just for everybody's information.
Sure.
My dad didn't quit the telethon. They fired him.
I'd heard that. How hard.
Yeah, and it is true. I mean, you know, to say that he quit really hurt him.
I'll bet.
I mean, that hurt him, because they dumped him. They just said, "We need somebody younger in there. We, you know, whatever their excuse were."
That
90 seconds. I better turn it back to you, huh?
No. That is so, I mean, think of the tens of millions of dollars he raised for that. That's just unbelievable.
Right. It's about $2.5 billion.
Wow.
That he's raised and built so many hospitals for it and everything, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
That's not being grateful at all.
No,
it's people.
No, it's not. So I assume, did he hit you up to be on the telethon?
Yeah, but the last time we did it was 2006.
With the band?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I was busy all the other years.
Well, that's a good thing. I mean,
yeah, it is.
Absolutely. Well, Gary, it's been such a pleasure to have this hour to spend with you, man. I'll tell you what, it brings back a lot of memories.
Oh, and thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I've been looking forward to this show for such a long time. Dr. Day, what a great program we had tonight.
No kidding. Now, first we have to thank Gary's mother for buying him the equipment to start
yes,
with.
Absolutely.
You could have 8 gold singles, 17 top 40 hits, and 4 gold albums, right?
That's right.
That's right. And the first time I saw you, I believe it was on Shindig.
Yes.
And
yes,
the last time I'm going to say is, I don't want to say goodnight.
All right.
Dr. Day's just, he's
I mean, I love all the research he's done.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
It wasn't hard because I had all your albums, and so it was easy.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Well, Gary, we'd like to do this again sometime.
Anytime, y'all, just drop me a line.
Well, you got a new single come out. We'd love to play it. We encourage everybody to go to, I almost said it, GaryLewis.com. And
Jerry Lewis and the Playboys.com.
Yeah, Jerry Lewis's Sons Combo.
Sons Combo will be on there with their newest
That's
song.
Right.
But we encourage everyone to download it and support him. Guys, it's so great that he's still out. And I'll tell you, I need to keep abreast of your schedule, so if you do play Indiana or Illinois, we can have a chance to make our way to the
venue. On my website, there's a section of show dates.
Well, we might just show up one day. You may not be happy about that.
Yeah.
Well, once again, everybody, great show. We remind you, you can listen to this downloaded after the broadcast at www.blogtalkradio.com/Larry-Batson. Our guest tonight, Gary Lewis, with the wonderful 60s band Gary Lewis and the Playboys. Folks, have a great week, everyone, and we'll talk to you next week here on Larry Batson's
Bye, World. Everybody.
Goodbye.
Thanks,
Gary.
Thanks for listening this week to Larry Batson's Wild World. Be sure to join us again next week at 10 p.m. for more of the latest outdoor and wildlife news and information, along with great tales from your host, world-renowned wildlife expert, Mr. Larry Batson. Tune in again next week for another exciting edition of Larry Batson's Wild World. Batson's Wild World is a Batson Wildlife Educational Services production in association with Blog Talk Radio.